The text is from the gospel reading, the last two verses. When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was open. The Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." Here ends our text. Poetry in Motion refers not to the 60s song, but to the 18th century poem, The Rime of the Ancient Mariner. This is the story of a sailor who, while lost at sea along with his shipmates, is guided to safety by an albatross. In a wanton act of cruelty, the ancient mariner shoots and kills the albatross with his crossbow. His crime arouses the spirits who chase the ship to seas where winds don't blow. Eventually, death takes all but the ancient mariner, but death in life wins his soul, and he is condemned to wander the earth. That's the rhyme of the ancient mariner, and you see how the poem brings life to events. Our understanding and appreciation of today's gospel can be aided by seeing it as poetry in motion. Particularly in the gospels, the Holy Spirit often speaks in clipped, concise phrases so that we have trouble connecting the dots. Hearing them as poetry in motion can help. In our two-verse text, the albatross is there. In the poem, the crew condemns the mariner for shooting the bird that helped them. They condemn him to wear the dead albatross around his neck. That's where the metaphor, like an albatross around your neck, comes from. What are the sins that beset you? What are the sins that fret you? What are the sins that you pet? What are they but albatrosses around your neck? Where's that 2009 resolution to be more patient, less worried, not lustful? It died sometime last January and has hung around your neck ever since. How poetic the justice that labels the adulterer with a giant letter A and the albatross killer with the dead bird. What hangs about your neck? What weighs you down? Failure after failure, sin after sin, lust after lust, covetousness, which Paul says is idolatry, and worry, which the first commandment says is unbelief. The albatross is in our text. See it hanging around the neck of Jesus. The only ones John baptized, according to Matthew and Mark, were the ones confessing their sins. That's why Matthew reports that John balked at baptizing Jesus. The Holy One of God, the Son of the Most High, had no sins. But there Jesus stands in a long line of sinners to be baptized. What albatrosses hang around his holy neck? His, hers, yours, mine. That's why John says after baptizing Jesus, "Behold, look, there's the Lamb of God who carries away the sins of the world." There, standing in the Jordan, hung about the neck of Jesus, are the sins that beset you, that fret you, and you have made pets of. Ever notice how people with pets might not notice the smell they leave in their homes? That's what happens when your sins become pets. They don't seem that bad, do they? A small dead bird stinks mighty bad. Think of the stench coming from a bird whose wingspan is 12 feet and whose weight is 26 pounds. That's the pet sins you think cute, playful, only natural. How do you like them now? If all of the motion you see in this poetry is Jesus standing in the Jordan with the albatross of your sin hung around his neck, that's not enough. Sorrow, shame, and eventually despair are all you'll get from this. And all the sorrow, shame, and despair in the world can only get you one thing. Hell. Ask the sorrowful, despairing, ashamed Judas about that. Thankfully, in the baptism of Jesus, atonement is here too. Real atonement, however, is not in the ancient mariner's rhyme. The poet probably thought it was. Interestingly, and perhaps prophetically, this 18th century poet has the mariner atone for his sin by becoming an environmentalist and an evangelist. After all his shipmates die because of his sin, he sees sea creatures he first had described as slimy things. But now, the ancient mariner sees their beauty, and he utters a prayer of blessing for him. This change from being a wanton killer of animals to a lover of all life partially atones for his guilt. He begs forgiveness from a hermit on an island, but instead, now I quote, "This frame of mine was wrenched with a woeful agony, which forced me to begin my tale, and then it let me free. Since then, at an uncertain hour, the agony returns, until my ghastly tale is told, this heart within me burns." Is that atonement for you? You'll repay your failures by becoming a better person? You'll tell everyone the sad lessons you've learned about sin and its consequences? That's no atonement. This is to be condemned to the mariner's woeful agony of always remembering your sin. And the world thinks this works. "Hi, I'm Paul, and I'm an alcoholic. I'm an addict. I'm a kleptomaniac. I'm a fornicator." There's no atonement here. No peace, no hope, no real release from the albatross of sin that hangs about your neck. But in the Jordan, there is real atonement. Jesus is baptized confessing your sins, and immediately the battle is joined. The Holy Spirit sends His man, the God-man, into the wilderness to do battle with the devil. Here's the challenge. Can Jesus keep the law of God perfectly alone in a wilderness without any food when perfect man and woman couldn't do it together in paradise loaded with food? More about that in the first Sunday in Lent. But for now, let me tell you, Jesus did it. He didn't shoot the albatross. He didn't indulge that lust, that worry, that greed, that fear. Being tempted in all things as we are, all of them floated, drifted, and soared above His holy head. But not one of them was allowed to land, let alone nest there. Jesus doesn't do what the mariner did or we do. So He is guiltless. No albatross of original or actual sin hangs about His neck. But still, He bears the albatrosses of our sins. And God promised death for sins and that eternal. So Jesus is led relentlessly to the cross. Bearing our guilt, the heavens that opened widely on the day of His baptism will slam shut in His face. The Father that is so pleased with His Son today for taking on our obligations, our debts, our sins, is going to be pleased to crush Him on the cross, says Isaiah. And in those dark, brutal, hellish days, the Son will pray, even as He does today in the Jordan. But the Holy Spirit won't show up then, but only great drops of bloody sweat pressed out of Him by anguish and an angel. That angel is going to strengthen Jesus so He can swallow every last drop of God's wrath and judgment, so He can tell you, so He can promise you on the cross, it is finished. In this rhyme of the beautiful Savior, we have the albatross, and we have the atonement, and we also have the water. Naturally, a rhyme about a mariner will feature water prominently. The famous line, "Water, water everywhere, and not a drop to drink," comes from that poem. Well, water is everywhere in our text, and it's fit for much more than drinking. Our opening hymn from an early church father understood this. We sang that the Lamb of God standing in the water, sinless, sanctifies the waves. Another church father says, the Savior willed to be baptized for this reason, not that He might cleanse Himself, but that He might cleanse the waters for our sake. As the sick who touched Jesus got health, As the dead got life, as the demonized got freedom, so the waters that he touched, which after 2,000 years of a closed water cycle are all around the world, those waters that he touched have been sanctified, set aside for holy use. After holy Jesus pays off the debt of sin we owe, after the Holy Father raises Jesus from the dead to show he has fully accepted that payment, Jesus commands us to use ordinary water to baptize all nations into the Father who spoke at the Jordan, into the Holy Ghost who descended as a dove there, and into the Son who claimed your sins as his own there. This water that is made special, that is made powerful, that is made forgiving and life-giving by adding the name of the triune God is literally everywhere. And though 99% of it is undrinkable, 100% of it can be used to baptize. Even in landlocked Austin, you see water everywhere. Lady Bird Lake, Lake Travis, Lake Austin, water, water everywhere. In Noah's day, God sent water to destroy the world. In Moses' day, he sent water to drown his enemies. In Jesus' day, he sends water to save the world, including those who count him an enemy. Your baptism, whether as a baby, a young person, or an adult, did what you see happening in the Jordan. It opened heaven to you, it gave you the Holy Spirit, and it gave you the Father's approval. Don't believe me? Think this is poetic license on my part? What does 1 Peter 3:21 say? Baptism doth also now save us. If baptism saves, then it certainly opens heaven to you. What about giving the Holy Spirit? What did Peter promise the Pentecost crowd in Acts 2:38? Repent and be baptized every one of you, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit landed on you in your baptism no less than it landed on Jesus. And what about having the Father's approval? What does Galatians 3:27 say? For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Clothed in Christ, God does not see what you used to be. He sees Jesus, and he is well pleased with Jesus. Let every drop of water on your windshield, let every drop of water from your sprinkler, let every drop of water out of your faucet preach to you of the power, the promise, the permanence of your baptism. Water, water everywhere, and not a drop that doesn't preach, teach, remind, and assure. When rain falls to the point of drumming on your roof, may every drop drum into your soul how in baptism Jesus got your sins, while in yours you got his holiness. After a long dry spell, when even a little rain turns brown to green, may you think, if ordinary water can do that, what power to change, what power to enliven, what power to resurrect must God's word of baptism have? In the rhyme, the mariner laments, instead of the cross, the albatross about my neck was hung. Luther recommended, and some Lutherans still do, make the sign of the cross on themselves as a reminder that baptized into the name of the triune God, a cross of atonement, not an albatross of sin, marks them. Signing yourself in such a way, that's poetry in motion, and a comforting poem it is. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.